In the time I have today, I would like to examine a phrase that's quite often mentioned around this time, in London Bread Time. A few weeks ago, we heard a split sermon from Mr. Bold about the spiritual principle of duality, where there is both a physical as well as a spiritual application to Scripture. So today we'll have a look at the phrase and what it physically means, as well as the spiritual applications that can be gleaned from it. The phrase that I wish to look at today is a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I'm sure we've all heard this phrase many times over the years, but have we ever stopped and thought about it? Do we understand both what it physically means to leaven a whole lump, and what are the spiritual applications as followers of Christ? Because the physical can be a mirror of the spiritual, the more we understand the physical, the more in-depth will be our understanding of the spiritual. This principle is known as duality. In a sermon Mr. Armstrong gave on the last day of Unleavened Bread, 1985, titled Coming Out of Sin, he said, "Now I've said so many times, there is so much duality in the Bible, and in this book you will find that duality is mentioned dozens of times, all the way through. There is so much duality, the first and then the second. The first usually physical, and the second is spiritual. The old and the new covenant, the first Adam and the second Adam." As we have been taught, leaven is a symbol for sin. In a comment in Lesson 26 of the Correspondence Course, it says, "Leaven is referred to in the Bible as a type of, or symbol for sin. For those who have been called by Christ, by the Father, putting all leaven and leaven products out of their dwelling and off of their property for 7 days of the festival, pictures their putting out of sin out of their lives. And since seven is the number of God uses to denote completeness and perfection, the 7 days of the feast reminds us that God wants his people to work at putting sin completely out of their lives. The first parallel between de-leavening our homes and de-leavening ourselves is that humanly, it's impossible. The air all around us contains yeast spores, which can be used to leaven dough, as is done with sourdough. Just as we have yeast spores in the atmosphere, we have Satan, who is portrayed as the prince of the power of the air, broadcasting thoughts through the air, thus leavening our minds with his attitudes. Without God's direct intervention, there is no way humanly we could succeed. So let's have a look at the physical side of the phrase, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The phrase is found in 1 Corinthians 5, so if you would like to turn, please, and we'll start by reading verse 6. This is the chapter where Paul is admonishing the Corinthian church for their very liberal attitude towards a man committing fornication with his stepmother. So in 1 Corinthians 5, we read verse 6. "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? As anyone who has made bread at home will know, the amount of yeast or baking powder used to make bread rise is very small in proportion to the flour and other ingredients. On average, yeast can leaven over 50 times its own weight. In ancient times, yeast was not available in packets from a shop. Instead, the only leavening agent they had available was the wild yeast spores in the air. From this, we know that the ancient Israelites didn't have the light, fluffy bread we have today. Instead, they would have had something we know now as sourdough, where a starter of flour and water is left to be naturally leavened by the airborne yeast spores. Each time they made bread, they would take a little bit of this starter, or mother, and knead it into the unleavened dough, thus spreading the starter evenly throughout the whole lump, and then it would rise. They would then keep some of this leavened dough for the next loaf, and so on and so on. This mother can be made to last a very, very long time, even for generations. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a record, the world record for the longest sourdough starter, but there is a lump up in Newcastle that is over 122 years old. It was handed down from grandmother to mother to daughter, and is still being used today to make bread. When the Israelites left Egypt, they left in great haste. Let's turn and read what happened. If you'd like to turn with me to Exodus 12, and we'll pick it up in verse 29. And it came to pass, that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of all the captives that are in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send out of the land in haste, for they said, We all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. So we can see that without their starter, they were unable to make leavened bread. God used this physical symbol to remind them, and us today, of his power and his mighty works he has performed to enable the Israelites not just to leave Egypt, but to leave with great spoils. If we continue to read in Exodus 12:35, And the children of Israel did according to the words of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And dropping down to verse 39, And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought from out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not tarry, neither had they prepared into themselves any victuals. So important is this knowledge that God included the 7 days of unleavened bread in his holy day cycle, so that we can recognize that without God's intervention, the Israelites would never be able to escape from the slavery of the Egyptians, just as we are not able to escape from Satan and our sins without God's intervention. So now let's move on to the spiritual side of a little leaven the whole lump. We know that it's impossible to truly de-leaven our homes physically, just as it's impossible to de-leaven ourselves alone. But with God, all things are possible. First, all past sins are forgiven upon repentance. Then, just as the only way to remove air out of a glass, it is by filling the glass with water. So is the same for us. We have our sins removed by being filled to the brim with the very Spirit of God. Mr. Armstrong covered this subject very well in The Pagan Holidays or God's Holidays, which he writes, The children of Israel started out of Egypt the night of the 15th of Abib, as we must, willingly of our own accord, start out of sin as soon as we accept the blood of Christ. They started out on their own power, and we must make the same start ourselves. But they did not get far until Pharaoh pursued after them, and he quotes Exodus 14, verses 5 to 7. If Egypt is a type of sin, then surely Pharaoh must picture Satan, and the army of Egypt, Satan's demons. While Israel was in Egypt, they were Pharaoh's slaves, helpless and powerless under his taskmasters. Just as the sinner is in the power of the devil, but when Israel took the blood of the lamb, then God acted, and as a result, Pharaoh released them. When we accept Christ's blood, God acts, and the devil must release us. And as the Israelites went out on a high hand, and he quotes Numbers 33, verse 3, in great exultation and elation over the deliverance from bondage, so does the newly begotten Christian start out on Christian life, up in the clouds of happiness and joy. But what happens? The devil and sin immediately pursue after the newly begotten Son of God, and soon the new and inexperienced Christian finds he is down in the depths of discouragement and tempted to give up and quit. But notice the message of God and to them that, through Moses. Fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Eternal. For the Egyptians you shall see to them again no more forever, and the Eternal shall fight for you. How wonderful! The angel that had gone before them, showing the Israelites the way, now went behind them, getting between them and their army, the enemy, protecting them. And then God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the waters were a wall unto the right hand and to their left hand. And he quotes in Isaiah 55 verse 1 and John 3, 37 to 39, the waters are a symbol for the Holy Spirit. The living waters of God are a wall to us on our right hand and on our left, guiding us in the true path, making the path, protecting us in it. But when Pharaoh and his armies attempted to follow the Israelites in this divinely created path, this same waters completely covered them, as the Holy Spirit removes and covers our sins, and the Israelites saw them no more. What a wonderful picture. Just as a little leaven added to a lump of dough will eventually cause the whole lump to become leavened or puffed up, so a little spiritual leaven or sin will spread and eventually cause the begotten Son of God to lose out on a tremendous opportunity that we have been given. But with God's help, they can overcome sin, fully de-leavening their spiritual lives, and qualify to rule and reign with Christ in the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, we have looked at what a little leaven, leavens the whole lump, physically means. We've seen that just a little leaven dough mixed in with your dough can cause the whole lump to rise. We know that it is impossible for us to remove yeast from our lives. We are probably breathing in yeast spores at this very moment. We also know that it's just as impossible to get rid of leaven from our homes physically as it is impossible to remove spiritual leaven from ourselves. We need God's help. To finish, I would like to read a comment from the correspondence course, lesson 26. If we are to become spirit-born members of God's family, we must prove that we will obey God here and now by striving with all our heart, mind, and strength, together with God's help, to get the spiritual leaven of sin out of our lives and keep it out. This is our part in God's great master plan. It's a full-time job that continues for the rest of our natural lives. Thus, every spring, the seven-day Feast of Unleavened Bread specially reminds spiritual begotten Christians of their continued need to keep God's commandments. It is the time when they symbolically renew their resolve to live in harmony with God's law, to rededicate their lives to continual spiritual growth and overcoming.